Very nice. Now, this is not coffee. This is hot water. I learned this in China. You drink hot water, and it keeps you from getting sick. I'm already sick, so maybe it helped me get better so I don't have a sore throat. We have a few of our people out today running the Detroit Marathon. So Simon Cox is running the full marathon. We have several running the half marathon. Brenda and Sage, and Sage's mother, Robin Owens, and her brother-in-law, Zach Ripley. Anyone else? I don't know. Last week, well, we're doing the blessed thing, right? So what's the B? Begin with prayer. L? Listen. Listen to people. E? Eat. Eat together. S, that's the first S, serve with love today. And the next one? Share. Share the story. Share your story. Okay? So last week was eat. And we gave you an assignment, right? We said, eat three meals this week with an intention. Two with church person or persons in order to get to know people better. And then with one with a non-church person. Okay, so anybody get an opportunity to do any of that today? And we're trying to work our way up. You don't have to do everything perfectly, but you want to work, Donna?
I got two church meals because we had them here last night.
Okay. All right, great. So she was able to do that. Had two church meals and someone outside the church she had lunch with. Anyone else?
Okay.
Lunch counts with two non-church persons. Yes. Okay. It's nice when they buy. And accepting hospitality is a good thing too, isn't it? Giving and accepting. That's important. And if you might invite Muslims to your house, they might be afraid to come in case you would give them something they would be afraid of that would make them defiled, like pork or alcohol. So sometimes they don't want to come to your house, but you can go to their house. And they're very hospitable. Okay? Anyone else? Yes.
Some of them stayed to eat with us, which was wonderful. And last, a bunch of people came over and had dinner with us from the church.
Very good. Very good. Any others? Well, let's continue to do these things. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to talk to people and listen. Hear from them so you know how to pray for them. Hear from them so that you know how close they are to Christ. Or if they're in the church, what do they need to do to grow in Christ? Because we're supposed to be encouraging each other to grow. And listen to where someone is in their spiritual journey, okay? And continue to eat together. Let's continue to have this a target. There's 168 hours. You have 21 meals and maybe seven snacks or coffee breaks or even more than that. Try to make three of those intentional with this purpose. And we'll see. And as you're praying for people, God will make opportunities arise. We don't have to be pushy with the gospel. God will make opportunities to arise. And speaking of prayer, our passage is out of Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. Let's read these. I'll read the one in italics. You read the one after. And again, I'll repeat it so that it'll be recorded because they can't hear your voice on the recording. So let's read this. Colossians 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Verse 3. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. And pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Imagine that, the Apostle Paul asking us to pray for him. Yes. In the way you act towards outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And so there's two groups here. There's those that are outside and those that are in the church. And he said, I want you to be wise how you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. But be gracious, be full of grace, seasoned with salt, and then you'll know how to answer everyone. And so we're supposed to love the family of God, but we're also supposed to love the lost family of Adam. We're supposed to love Christians, the people in the church, and those that are unsaved. Here's another verse out of Thessalonians. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. What does he mean, for one another? He's talking about other Christians. And what does he mean, and all people? He's talking about those outside of the church. So again, for the church and then other people. Out of Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Let me read 9, you read 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good for all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do we see that division again? The family of God, the household of faith, and all people. He wants us to do good for all people. That's important. And Titus, this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. So when the church does good deeds, it helps people outside the church listen to the gospel. That's important. But here's a caution. We want to do good to all people. We want to show love and concern for those people outside the church, but we don't want to mess with the Great Commission, because sometimes that's happening. Don't change the Great Commission. Don't conflate Matthew 28 with Matthew 25. And don't misapply the Great Commandment, because that's being done. It's being done in sermons. It's being done in books. It's being done quite a bit. There's some confusion, and we don't want to be confused. We want to understand Christ and obey him. What's the Great Commission? Out of Matthew, at the end, 28 verses 19 and 20, he says what? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to what? To obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So the church has a mission to tell the story of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, his coming again. We're to tell that to the world. And when the people believe, we're to help these people as they follow Christ to grow up into obedience to all that Christ says. We're making disciples. That's what he tells us to do. Make disciples and obey everything. What about the commandment to love? Remember, this is, we read through this before, John 13. This is the Last Supper. Jesus is about to be arrested and go to the cross. So this is during the Last Supper. And he says, I give a new command to you, John 13, 34 and 35. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Who is he talking to? His disciples. And who is he telling them to love? Each other. Is he telling them to love the world? And this command, is he telling them to love the world? What's he telling them? Love each other. Love every other person who belongs to Christ. By this, all men, now is he talking about? He's talking about the world. He says, how will the world know that you follow me, that you are my disciples? What will be the best witness to the world so that they know that you are my disciple and you follow me? He says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. If you love the world, he said, love one another. Does he want us to be kind and love the world? Yes. Does he want our love for one another to be distinct and special? Yes. Some people have tried to make Matthew 25 the fulfillment of Matthew 28, and that is incorrect. Here he says in verse 37, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?'" Read 38, please. "When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" Verse 40. "Then the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of these, the least of my brothers, you did it for me.'" I'm sorry, I messed up another translation. "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Some people have called this the hidden Jesus. "We didn't see you. We did that? When is that?" So you have to find the hidden Jesus and do this for him. Find the hidden Jesus. "When did we see you?" And it comes down to, what does that mean? These brothers of mine. What does he mean by that? And some people have interpreted every poor person, every homeless person, every hungry person, every thirsty person, every person in jail. That's how some people have interpreted that. But is that the correct interpretation? Look at Paul's own conversion experience. It was very, very strong upon him. Oh, can we go back to Acts 22? Thank you. He said, "About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice say to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?'" Now, this is a voice from heaven, a bright light brighter than the noonday sun in the Middle East. That's pretty bright. And so he says, "Who are you, Lord?" You're obviously a heavenly person, maybe an angel. He doesn't know who it is. So the word Lord here means sir, Lord. He doesn't know that it's it's Yahweh. "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." How could I persecute you? I've never met you. I've never seen you before. How can I be persecuting you? Was Paul persecuting Jesus? He was persecuting the body of Christ. He was persecuting the church. And so in that moment, Paul realized, when you mess with the church, you're messing with Jesus. The church is the body of Christ. Now go back to Matthew 25. Who is that? Who is the least of these, my brethren? It's every brother and sister in Christ. And why are these people homeless? Why are these people without food? Why are these people without jobs? They're the persecuted church. That's who they are. That's the understanding of that. We ask the question, who's my neighbor? This is the second great commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. But then one man said, well, who is my neighbor? That's actually a very good question. And in a context, it's out of Leviticus 19. The context tells us, look at this, verses 17 and 18. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. All of those categories are the same category. So who's your neighbor? It's your brother. It's one of your people. And how do we know that? Because it was the nation of Israel. They were a theocratic kingdom. It was a covenant community formed when they came out in the Exodus, and God gave them the law at Sinai. That's who they were. And who was your neighbor? He gave the land out tribe by tribe by tribe. Your neighbor was your relative, was your brother or your cousin or your uncle. But more than that, they were all part of the covenant community. Were they all believers? A lot of them weren't. And so the theocratic kingdom didn't exactly work. But the theocratic kingdom is over now. And what did Jesus say? I mean, Alexander kind of put an end to it. Nebuchadnezzar pulled them out of the land, and then they went back again. But and then they had some freedom until Alexander came along and the generals after him. And then it fell to Rome, and they were always subject to foreign rulers after that. But what did Jesus say? He said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And so this separates the church and government. It's no longer theocratic. And so when we go into the Old Testament, we have to say, is this talking to the government or is this talking to the church? Am I trying to take commands to the church and make the government obey them? Or am I trying to take commands to the government and make the church obey them? We shouldn't do that. We need to be discerning what is what. SJWs or JWs? Do you know what that is? What's a JW? No, Jesus witness. Come on. But since Jesus is Jehovah, okay, we'll count that. What's a SJW? Social justice warrior. There are some Christians who believe we're called to be social justice warriors. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 about that. He says, I have written you in my letter to not associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, the greedy, the swindlers, the idolaters. In that case, what would you have to do? You'd have to leave the world. Does God want us to leave the world? No. He wants us to stay in the world and be salt and light. To whom? To those people. He wants us to be salt and light to the people who are immoral and swindlers and greedy. But now I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. Because what's eating imply? Fellowship and acceptance. We are eating with the lost because they're lost and we want to win them. But we're not eating with someone who calls himself a brother and is unrepentant in his sin. Oh, Jesus died for my sins, so I get to live in him. No, that's actually not what you're supposed to do. So if someone is an unrepentant sinner, he shouldn't be associated with the church. Because what's the church? Disciples who follow Christ. And follow how many commands? You pick, you know, is it the five, the 10 suggestions, and you pick five? It's the, you know, we follow Christ. And so we are to forgive the repentance and shun the unrepentance. That's dealing with the church. But we live among the lost, we shine our light, and we show salt. We because this is what Christ has left us here to do. Let's look at another verse, another passage. Now, we studied Thessalonians a year ago in chapter 4, verse 9. And 10. In fact, let's read this, okay? I'll read 9, you read 10. Now about brotherly love, we don't need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. 10. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia, yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Can you go to the next verse? Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So what's his concern there? You're loving the brothers. Keep doing that. You're doing well. Do it even more. But as you live among the unbelievers, what? Lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Are you supposed to be a social justice warrior trying to change the world? You can't change the world. What's God's program for changing the world? Changing people one by one. That's how you change the world. You change the world when they become new people. You expect new behavior out of someone who has a new nature. How do they get a new nature? They have to be born again. Otherwise, they have their old nature. And so we're not supposed to be social justice warriors, but we are supposed to be people who can be respected, minding our own business, and living, showing the life of Christ, and sharing the gospel. What about the Good Samaritan? Because the man said, well, who's my neighbor, trying to justify himself? And Jesus didn't answer the question. He tells him a story. And he says, there was a man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho. I've been on that road. How many have been on that road? Okay. Is it a nice, pleasant road? Is it like a desert road? Is it very hot? Okay, so here's a man on this road, and he gets beaten up and bloodied, stripped naked by robbers. He has no food. He has no water. He's bruised. He probably can't drag himself back. And so what's his situation? He's dying. He's in a crisis. If you come upon someone who's about to die, what should you do? You should help him. Two men passed him by who did not help him, even though they were actually of his own people in the same covenant community and religious people. They passed him by. Someone who wasn't in his community came by, had compassion on him, and had to physically carry him. He put him on his donkey and carried him and took care of him. Yes, we should help people who are in crisis. And we've seen people do that. People have done that in Houston when there was a hurricane. People helped people in Las Vegas because this shooter was killing people and wounding people. Yes, help your brother, your fellow man. We share humanity with them. Help them. That's what God wants you to do. But is our Great Commission to go into the world and help all the poor and raise everybody's economic level to the same level? Are we supposed to redistribute wealth? No, we're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be helping people, but we're not supposed to go into the world looking for people to help. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go into the world and make disciples. And while you're there, if there's someone who needs help, help them. But we're being told the church has to go and help here and help here and help here and spend all our time, all our energy, all our resources. This happened 100 years ago. It's called the social gospel. And so we lost sight of the gospel because we had to go and help and change. You can't change the world. The way you change the world is you change the people in the world through new birth, through new life. Who is your neighbor? He's the person in your community. But we live in two communities. We live in the community of Adam. We share humanity. We're born in Adam. We have biological and temporal life that we share with them. And we're in the church. We're born again into that. You're not born into it. You have to be born again. It's spiritual and it's eternal. Some of us have people that are in our biological family who are not in our spiritual family. Is that right? What should you do? Begin with prayer. Listen. Find out what's their stumbling stone, what's in their way. Continue to fellowship with them. Continue to love them. Help them. Share, you know, serve them. And then share your story. You know what? You might feel bad if you have people in your family that aren't believers. I know someone like that. Jesus. Before the cross, his own family did not believe in him. His own brothers did not believe in him. Did you know that? They didn't believe in him. But after the cross, one of the people that Jesus appeared to was James. And James calls him his Lord, Jesus Christ. So does Jude. Jude is also his half-brother. So what do you want to do with the people that you love, the people that you care about? your family, your friends, your acquaintances, your neighbors, your coworkers. What do you want to do? They're neighbors in one sense, in the biological and the temporal earthly sense, but you want them to become your brothers and sisters in Christ in the spiritual and eternal sense. So invite them to join the spiritual community. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to show and tell Jesus to Frank. I like the name Frank because we have a few of them here, right? Some first names, some last names. We have some Franks. I have a brother, Frank. Now, Frank, my brother Frank is a believer. But what does it stand for? Friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, and coworkers. That's what we want to do. We want to show and tell Jesus to them. We want to live a life in front of them that's respectable. We want to show love in the family so that they can see, this is a family I want to join. I want to be in the family of God. And I want to be in the love of God and not under the wrath of God. Look at this verse, last verse. Oh, there's two verses. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. That's what? The church, right? And for all people. Just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father. When? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Something we can't forget. This is temporal. Our time is short. The time of invitation is between when Jesus left and when he comes back. When he comes back, there's no more opportunity. The invitation is closed. Like some of you probably got up this morning and said, I want to run the Detroit Marathon. Sorry, registration was closed. Now, if you want to run to the marathon station and back on Ford Road, that's not very far. You can do that. But no, there's a time when the invitation, the registration is going to be closed. And when is that? It's when he comes back. When we take communion, one thing we always say, when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare the Lord's death on the cross until he comes. And so we need to remember that. Why are we here? To worship and sing? Some of us sing better than others, okay? But I think we'll all sing better in heaven. Maybe not. Maybe we won't care. I don't know. Worship, love God, we will love God more in heaven. Everything in our relationship with God will be greater in heaven, but there's only one thing we can do here that we can't do there, and what's that? Be JWs, be Jesus witnesses. So Jesus is coming back. Jesus died. He rose from the dead. He's coming back. We need to tell our community. We need to tell the people around us. We need to show them that we care and help them. And we need to be demonstrating the life and love of God here. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the gospel that Jesus Christ died for us. On the cross, according to the scriptures, it was foretold, it was prophesied. He fulfilled the scriptures, and then he, that perfect one, took our place, not just ours. He's not just the propitiation for our sins, but for the whole world. Many people don't know this. Or maybe they've heard of it, but they can't believe it's true. Help us to be a demonstration that your love is poured out on us, that we love one another, that we love you, and that we are willing to accept them into this community as well. Help us to do that. Help us to be your witnesses here on earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. Fill us with your spirit to understand your word, to follow it completely, and to be changed and transformed to be more and more like Christ. We ask in his name. And all God's people said, Amen.